This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour, Brock and Salk is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness, 710 ESPN Seattle. You can listen 710sports.com or on our 710 Sports app as well. Phone line's going to be open here for pretty much the rest of this hour, 206-421-3776, after a really tremendous weekend, man. I said it to start the show. I was not supposed to come in today. It's kind of a complicated story. I'm going to be out tomorrow, and I got to go to a funeral tomorrow morning back in Boston. My dad's best friend, a guy I called my uncle my whole life, unfortunately passed away of brain cancer at the age of 69. So not to bring a bummer to the whole thing, he was an incredible human being, one of my favorite people in the entire world. So as awful as his passing is, I'm excited to go celebrate his life. So yeah. I apologize. I'll be off the show tomorrow and doing it on Wednesday from Boston, but I wanted to come in today, even though I wasn't supposed to be here, because I couldn't go three days without talking about this incredible weekend, man.
Why? For 9.5 years, we've been waiting for Monday.
Gosh.
That's why. Because it's been since 2003, in the month of June, this Mariner team finds himself in first place, and not a chintzy first place. Not like a game over 500 and everybody else is stinking in your division. No. No, you've got to be playing tremendous baseball. In fact, you've got to be 15 games above the 500 mark to be a step ahead of Houston.
I don't want to just go through all the numbers over and over again, but they're on pace for 102 victories. That's not, I mean, we're not talking about last year, like, okay, they're on pace for 85, 88, or it's 2 years ago, and maybe you can slip ahead of someone. No, you're on pace for 102 wins. You're not going to get there in all likelihood, and June is going to be a buzzsaw, and there's going to be some moments that are going to test your faith and conviction here over the course of the next month. And so all of the same old Mariner crew, you guess what, guys? Your moment's coming. I know it's been a hard first 2 months for you, and May stunk. I know when you're a big, same old Mariners guy, it hurts every time this team defies the odds and finds a way to win, and you get to go back to your little troll-like life and find a way to blow it anyway. Like, I heard from you guys. Trust me. I know you're out there, and you're going to have your day in the sun.
Yep.
There's going to be some moments in June where the Mariners take a tough loss and the bullpen blows it, or they get shut out in consecutive days by Chris Sale and somebody else. Like, that's going to happen, okay? Let's get it out in the open right now. It's gonna happen. But right now you're on pace for 102 wins. You just went 8-2 on a homestand, nearly went 10-0. You're two blown saves away from a perfect 10-0 homestand, and you're beating up on all the teams you're supposed to beat up on. It's been awesome. They've done it in a million different ways with a million different heroes and so many different guys, and all of them have found their own way to contribute to this ball club, Brock, and that's why I decided I had to come in today. So what was your favorite moment? 206-421-3776. What was your favorite moment of the weekend? Of everything the Mariners did, what spoke to you? What was the moment that got you to give that little fist pump?
I'm going to say, as I said last hour, I think I'm still going to land on D. Gordon. As the son of a coach, there's just something about a professional that's got a guaranteed deal, that has made money, that's won a gold glove, and is just doing all the little things. That is just taking some extra BP in the cage after the game and then taking his tee out there because he went 0-for-6, was disappointed in his efforts, and wants to make it right. I think of everything that I saw, that is so encouraging. It's not Lloyd McClendon taking all the kindergartners around the bases, right? It's not Eric Wedge, who's just so desperately looking for somebody with some edge. It's not the years of who is it going to be, man? Who is the veteran guy that can just kind of set some of that tone? Yeah, to see that and to see that image, you know, specifically at nearly 1 a.m. on Friday night,
it's pretty awesome.
That one's just burned in my memory.
I think, and it should be, right? I mean that's a leader. That's what leadership is. That's what chemistry is. I think it's a really, we talk a lot about chemistry in baseball. Get to your calls here in just a sec. 206-421-3776. We talk a lot about chemistry and what does it mean in baseball, right? This is one of the oldest debates in history. And the stat heads say chemistry doesn't matter, and some people say chemistry is more important than what the stats say, and there's never been a definitive answer to it. But every time somebody asks you, okay, well, why would chemistry be important? What does chemistry do? I think it does what D. Gordon decided to do late Friday night. I think when the game is important to you, when you've got players that love to play, when it means the world to them, and they're fun to be around, they show up at 12:30 at night to work on their game. And then that means that the other guys take the hint.
Mm-hmm.
And because they like D. Gordon, He's not a jerk. He's not trying to show them up. He's not trying to make anybody look bad. He's a fun-loving dude who has a great time with everybody. He's instantly a leader on this team, even after only a few months. They get the hint. Okay. If he's gonna do that at 12:30 at night, how hard would it be for me to come in for early BP? How hard would it be for me to come in to get a little early work on my fielding? Yep. How hard would it be? Oh, and by the way, if I do show up early to work on my fielding one day, all these other guys are going to show up too, and we're going to have fun because we enjoy being around each other. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, everyone's working more and working together. And if that's the effect of chemistry, and that's just one, that's a pretty good reason to say that chemistry matters, right? If we believe that taking batting practice and taking extra fielding and all those things help, and all those things help lead to the Mariners have one of the best fielding percentages in baseball, haven't made an error in forever, and their defense been a major reason why they win, don't we have to have some correlation there? I don't know that I can like specifically say it's definitely true, but I sure feel like it's true.
Yeah. Well, I think I can define chemistry, but I want to get to a bunch of these.
All right, 206-421-3776. We'll shut up. Let you talk, starting with Robert, who is in Redmond. What's up, Robert? What was your favorite moment?
So I'm going to give you guys two moments, one from me and one from Jerry, Scott, and John Stanton. Okay.
Yeah.
So my one has to be D for really what Brock talked about. And it's not just about the weekend. It's about the future. And it's about just our core value is you're not going to outwork us. So that's the first thing. I think Jerry, Scott, and John Stanton's favorite moment was seeing Felix pitch the way he did. And the reason for that is it delays or maybe it puts to rest a very difficult decision they may have to make down the road.
It's a really good phone call, man.
Here's the lineup and the 3-2 pitch. Breaking ball swing and a ground ball to third. Up with the ball is Seager. Toss across in time to get Robertson, and that will end the inning. Felix Hernandez, 8 very strong innings this afternoon, giving his ball club a chance to come from behind and try to win it late in the game.
Just me. Thank you, Robert, for the phone call. Just me, or has the team's gotten better? The calls have gotten better.
I would say so. Calls have been tremendous. Yeah, last week or two.
Yeah,
they go as the Mariners go.
Yeah, probably. That fifth inning was the biggest key. I mean, we're one swing here away from a little different discussion. We're one swing away with the bases loaded and a 3-0 count, and Felix saying, hey, yeah, I had to come in. I'm not going to walk them. And, you know, their cleanup hitter doing some damage, you know, putting one in the gap, and it's 4-0, and we're having a little different conversation about today. But instead, he got out of that. You know, he struck out the third hitter, the little second baseman that's just an annoyance. He struck him out, you know, bases loaded, one out, and he gets to, is it Bundy? Is this third baseman, their cleanup guy? And 3-0. And comes right back and gets him to grind, you know, ground out, and that was the difference.
Yeah, it was. He's right about how important that was to the organization, though, and whether it delays something or even ends conversation, it's not going to end it. But if this prolongs Felix's reign and gives him an opportunity to kind of see and set a blueprint for what he's capable of, that's got to be right up there among the best single moments of this weekend. 206.
Jerry DePoto, he said to begin the year that a lot of the Mariners' success would be predicated on how Felix did this year. I mean, he was very open, very brash and honest about that. Like, yeah, if Felix does well, we will do well.
Well, he hasn't been great until now. That was the best start we've seen from the King in a long time. 206-421-3776. Jim is in Seattle. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. My favorite moments from this weekend kind of depends on which sports fan I'm dealing with internally. My nuanced, every morning listener to Brock and Salk, my educated, informed guy says the D. Gordon practice, the Marco Gonzalez setting up on Saturday with a great outing, and then the 1-2 punch with Colum May and Diaz. Any play Kyle Seager made at third that could have saved the game.
Sure.
But if I'm really going with my true lizard brain, simple sports fan, it's the Mitch Haniger walk-off.
Here's the stretch and the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right center field. Smith to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. A walk-off winner for Mitch Haniger. Mitch Haniger with his 12th home run of the season at opposite field. Home run to right center. The Mariners win it. 4-3 in the bottom of the 13th inning, and Haniger is getting mobbed at home plate by his teammates. Holy smokes.
That's the lizard brain answer?
Absolutely. It's simple. It's pure. It's absolute just pure emotion. There's no logic or sense to it. It's just straight up one moment, that's what happened, and we're done. There's no nuance to it. It's just simple. We're all going home.
Love it, John. Thank you for the phone call.
Did you think they were going to win that game, John?
It's about 11:30 at night, too.
Did you think they were going to win?
I was working the game that night, actually. I was in the tunnel, and in front of me, the top half of the 13th said they're going to get a double play, and then Haniger's going to hit a walk-off.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So he knew, and I believed him.
I thought it was going to be Cruz in that game. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks, man. I appreciate your lizard brain more than ever. I thought Cruz was going to win it in that at bat. I was texting with somebody, and I said, well, they get out of this here, Cruz is going to hit a home run the next inning. And he didn't miss it by much.
No,
I mean, just unfortunately, as he hit it, I knew it wasn't going to go out. But it was close. I mean, yep. he nearly gave it enough of a ride. And then Haniger had the strength to put it out in nearly the same spot, maybe even a deeper spot in the park.
Well, it was deeper, yeah.
He's got some real pop in his bat, man. Yep. I was surprised yesterday. They put up those righty-lefty splits for Haniger. He really has not done that much damage against right-handers this year.
No,
so much of what he's done has been against lefties.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, he's found a way in big spots. And I'm glad he had his moment. He's kind of been as you've looked at Haniger this year, he has defined this team's success as much as anybody. Undervalued, overlooked player who at 27 is just coming into his own last year when they traded for him. And now, he's 28 years old this year. He's just starting to maybe become a star. And to have a moment like that late at night in a game that would be, sort of could have gone either way, to see him come back and have that, I thought that was a pretty cool moment.
An uncharacteristic breach of emotion, too, for Mitch. That was probably the most hype that you've ever seen him doing the thumbs up twice as he's rounding like the base paths. Just that was the most excited I think
he
I've seen him
character.
In game, because he is so good at just maintaining that mellow calm, not get too high, not get too low. But it was fun to see
his
that.
Mellow calm, though, is a lot cooler than Dustin Ackley's, because
mm-hmm.
Dustin felt like a corpse. And Mitch just feels like
morose.
He's chill.
He was morose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a California little chill with Haniger. By the way, it's not Bundy. It was Duffy.
Duffy.
All 6'2", 170 pounds of him.
He played pretty well over it. I'll tell you what, the Rays, I know they lost all three
scrappy.
Games. Scrappy little team, and that shortstop, Robertson's a ton of fun to watch.
Scrappy.
Man, that guy made a lot of plays. Although, he was on the downside of one of my favorite plays of the weekend. If we're talking through them, this probably isn't going to be number one. But I thought Felix throwing behind Robertson to
Zunino.
Nail him. I thought Zunino, sorry about that. Throwing behind Robertson to pick him off at first base. What was that, Friday night? Underrated play, man.
Yeah. Came in late in the game and
wasn't really supposed, nope. Much like me, not supposed to be here
That's
today.
That's right. That's right.
Supposed
Here's
to have the
pitch. Bounces in and a throw to first by Zunino. Down with a tag. Healy out at first base is Robertson. Holy smokes, Mike Zunino has just picked off Daniel Robertson at first base, and that will retire the side.
It was a year ago, Mike, where Zunino couldn't hit anything. Ultimately got fixed down in T-Town with our guy boy Howdy, but his offense was affecting his defense. That ultimately that call was made, like, Mike, this has not been good, man. It's torpedoing everything. That's not been the case this year. The struggles have still been there a bit offensively, not been as efficient as he wants to be. He's not gotten on his run, and he's going to put two or three weeks together where he's going to be lights out, yet it is not affecting him defensively at all. He's becoming one of the great weapons behind the plate. No.
And then when he's just stealing outs for you on Friday night, you had Gonzalez picking guys off on Saturday. I mean, just the way they managed to get the Rays to run into outs on the bases, I thought was a huge reason they come up with that sweep.
Serious.
But one little comparison I thought was important to note there, and this is really minor, so this is for the baseball dork out there.
For the guy, what did he say, not the lizard brain, but the nuanced
This is the nuanced
guy.
Baseball fan who watched every pitch over the weekend right. and was super excited about it. I would assume you noticed this also. The tag that Ryan Healy makes on that play where Zunino guns him down was great. Ryan Healy's been really good around the bag. He's athletic, he's nimble, he used to play third base. I mean, you can kind of see it with some of the picks he has at first base. Contrast that to Brad Miller, who should be that. Mm. This guy was a shortstop. He was supposed to be the future of shortstop here in Seattle. And if you watch the play, D. Gordon, he has him dead to rights yesterday. He's picked off.
Yep.
And Brad Miller had such a lousy tag on that play that D was able to slide back in safe. He knew he was picked off. He knew that they had him. He stumbled on the way back to the bag. He was leaning the other way. And Brad Miller, just kind of a lousy, lazy play at first base. And sometimes that's the difference between a winning baseball team and a losing one, man. So give credit to the Mariners on all these little things that they've done right. They've got to do them all right.
Mm.
If you want to go 18-9 in one-run games, which is what they've done so far, Zunino's got to pick off a guy at first base. Healy's got to come up with the right tag. And sometimes Brad Miller has to screw it up the other way, and their second baseman has to not be able to get the ball out of his glove and allow
it. Pitch, one on, ground ball.
Oh, God!
To the left side of the infield, up the ball is Miller.
Oh!
His wide throw to first.
Oh!
The old Brad Miller roller coaster.
Brad Miller roller coaster. Oh,
it's
no.
Fun ride, man.
Oh, no.
Fun
He's
ride.
Gonna throw it.
Fun ride at Disney. 206-421-3776. Your favorite moments of the weekend. Kevin in Kirkland. What's up, Kev?
Hey there. I feel like we just caused the Tampa Bay Rays to be demoralized last night with causing them to waste a dominant performance by Blake Snell, who was throwing nails and bullets and BBs. Nobody's able to hit him even hard. And that in combination with Felix having a dominant performance and us always us almost falling into that common narrative of, are we going to waste another dominant performance by Felix? Didn't we do this? Haven't we done this too much? And then we just pull it out, and it just feels great. And it was a surprise, kind of a surprise, kind of not, you know, because this team's really clicking.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's funny. Was yesterday a surprise as you were watching it? It was certainly a surprise if you'd watched only the first two innings, right? I mean, that guy was he was insane. But as you were watching it, once Felix kind of kept them in the game, were you surprised when they came back to win?
I mean, kind of, just because Blake Snell seemed to have the eye of the tiger last night, and they were throwing up these stats about how nobody's even hitting him hard. I was a little bit down about that. I don't know. I was just twiddling my thumbs, kind of waiting for another wasted performance of Felix's, and call me a disgruntled Mariners fan. I don't know. But, like, it was really good to see them flip that narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this team has learned to finish. I mean, I think that's one thing that you can say as much as anything else in this 37-22 start. They're going to waste some pitches here. They're going to get that pitch count up. They're going to get him the heck out of there after six innings.
And that's your only chance to win that game.
That was it.
If he stays in that game through eight, you probably can't win that game.
Agreed.
He was as good as we've seen. I mean, he was right there with some of the best we've seen this year. Gerrit Cole was right there. All right, everybody on the Astros, really, was right there. He just belonged in the Astros rotation as good as he was yesterday, but they did what you got to do in those days.
Yep.
You know, find a way to get to the bullpen. And, yeah, Tampa's bullpen's fine. Like, there's some good pitchers in there, but they're not as good as Snell was yesterday. So find a way. Look,
Did you love Kyle Seager also coming up to – Felix said that Kyle came up to him after the game and was like, man, a couple of years ago
–
we would have wasted this and we would not have scored and we would have lost in another great performance. So I'm glad we could do this for you.
Yeah, I think what's cool about the Mariners this year, I would agree with, I mean, obviously that's true. I mean, we've seen that a million times, is they've found the little things that help them win. So they've played great defense. They've pitched well, obviously. But I like that they just play hard and they play focused. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about with D. Gordon finding a way back to the bag and Mike Zunino throwing a guy out and no errors in forever. It was described to me yesterday by somebody in the game that they play, and this is a quote, really competitive innings. I thought it was an interesting way of looking at them, that they play really competitive innings. They might disappear for a little while. Like, they'll go through a 3-4 inning stretch where they don't do much at the plate and this and that. But they're really competitive about the innings they play. And once they get somebody on base, they grind and they find a way through it and they're laser focused. And they don't beat themselves. They don't just hand the other team games. They don't give away too many at bats. And I thought yesterday was a really good example of that, where you ride out Snell and then eventually find a way to get to the bullpen after that.
Well, it ties in your question earlier about chemistry. And this is for the nuanced baseball guy. And I'll stretch it beyond it, because the two teams that I played on where there was truly chemistry, if you say all these years you played, a couple decades of high school and college and pro ball, give me the team that had the most chemistry. There were two. Mm. It was my redshirt freshman year at Washington, and it was the 2003 year with the Colts. Those were the two. Because those were the two teams that I was on where you truly did not want to let the guy next to you down. I don't want to let you down. And I think that chemistry, and that is in a radio show, that is in a school, that's in a law office, that's on a sales team, that's at a firefighting unit, that's in a police corps, that is in the government, that is anywhere. Like, when you come to work, I don't want to let someone down. You coming in today. You want to come in today. You know, you weren't supposed to come in. You got your girls, but you want to come in today because I don't want to let the show down. Are you kidding me? For 10 years, we've been waiting for weekends like this. But I don't want to let that guy down, right?
That number's going to keep growing by the end of the show. Like, for 20 years, yeah. He's coming in here every single day.
For 32 years.
And the Mariners have been bad every single time.
There weren't many teams, Mike, that truly I could say that, I don't want to let you down.
Isn't that the Ricardo Lacca thing that he told the Danny David Moore show?
Yes.
Right? That's exactly what Ricardo told them a couple years ago when they had that big team meeting. What was it about? Playing for your brothers and for your teammates instead of with them.
Yes.
And they needed
a team meeting. They needed to be reminded of that because of all of the entitlement and the selfishness and everything that creeped in with their success. This team right now, Kyle doesn't want to let guys down, even though he's not hitting well. He's going to go out on that field and do tremendous work. D doesn't want to let guys down. So, you know, for 6-9, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a little extra work. You know, Zanino, I don't want to let guys down. I don't care that I've struck out 3 times or I'm 1-for-15 on a homestand. I don't want to let my teammates down. When you get that going, to me, that's when you get the best chemistry.
206-421-3776. Fred's in Birch Bay. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, good morning, you guys. Hey, Brock, I got to say, sometimes it's scary listening to you. I, too, am a coach's kid, and I did a lot of coaching up with the neck up in my past. And so what I wanted to point out was the pure joy that I felt from both the dugouts from the Mariners and the Huskies. I mean, if you couldn't feel the electricity when those guys were rooting for each other and the ladies were just, wow, putting on a show. I mean, I can't wait for 4 o'clock. Must see TV. I didn't think I'd ever say that.
Yeah. I love
you can
it,
see
I
that celebration for sure. As Haniger hits that home run, and it's not the first time. These moments have just they've been so common that eventually you can't help but have a team get tied together.
Here's the stretch and the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to right center field. Smith to the warning track to the wall. Goodbye, base. This game is over!
Yeah, that was exclusive audio of Howdy at his house. He was very excited.
Was that Rick that turned into Goldie?
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Or was that Goldie the whole time? No. They had a little Rick early. What was
it? Really hard to say.
Face. This game is over!
Laurel or Yanny?
I think it was more like Rick was trying to do the end of the game, and Goldsmith just elbowed him out of the way, grabbed the mic, and started shouting. I mean, geez. Get it together in the booth there, guys, right?
Laurel or Yanny? Rick or Goldie? Ricky or Goldie?
The This Game is Over call is my favorite of the year. I just got to be clear. We will use. I'm going to find more ways
Purple
to throw that into other things.
Gatorade everywhere.
I love that call.
It's such a good call.
This Game is Over is one of my favorite calls I've ever. Like, I love it. It is. It's succinct.
This game is over!
It's to the point. I love it. The beginning's succinct. I guess the end is a little drawn.
He's going to join us in about 45 minutes or so. And, you know, there's some rumors going around that it was the you sit down call that he was kind of listening to in the spring, kind of liked it, that he thought maybe he could put his own twist on it.
All right, let's do
this. You sit down.
The phone lines are jammed. 206-421-3776. Everybody wants to talk about a great, great weekend for the Mariners. They get the sweep. They are a game up in first place in the AL West, 2 games up in the loss column, 3rd best record in baseball, 5.5 games clear of the Angels. Everything is going their way right now. Who wouldn't want to talk about them? Grab some more of your calls. Plus, if D. Gordon sent his teammates a huge signal on Friday night, there's another way the organization can signal something real positive to this team. We'll discuss what that is next. Here on Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You sit down.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Seattle is alive for the Mariners. The excitement in Seattle is insane. It's insane. I'm thinking 87 and 75. And we're getting in on a wild card, baby.
Pretty fun morning to be here in Seattle. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. We're brought to you this hour by Precor Home Fitness. Man, what a just tremendous weekend. So much fun watching this team win and just being around it and being a part of it. And man, I feel lucky to get to watch them right now. It's just been that kind of scrappy, fun month for these Mariners. We got the phone lines jammed here, 206-421-3776. I wanted to talk about signs for a moment. Signals and signs.
Oh.
Not just the Tesla song or the cover of the song that Tesla did, but I wanted to talk for a moment about signs and mucking. Good.
Not those
signs. We'll start with that. All right, that's signs. We don't need to keep going with signs. In any event, baseball players use a lot of signs and signals.
Oh, they sure do.
Right?
Like the fake shake.
Whether it's the fake shake, the touching of the nose, the forehead, over to the cheek, back to the chin, back to the nose, back to the forehead.
Right.
Whether it's sliding the arm across the chest.
Right to left or left to right or up or down.
Whether it's everything in the Naked Gun where they're using the everything from the giant light to send light signals to the other. I mean, baseball is all about signs and signals. But I think even more than that, I think one of the biggest places they use it are to communicate with each other off the field. How do you reference this with Scott Servais last year, saying, well, baseball manager's never actually going to tell his player anything? And I know Scott gave you grief about it, but oftentimes you're right. Baseball organizations, teams, players, they often find other ways to communicate with each other. They do it through little signals in the media. They drop little hints. They say things through each other, right? They never just come out and say exactly what's on their mind. So, yeah, D. Gordon sends a sign by hitting in public after that game, not in the cage. If you miss that, D. Gordon, after Friday night's game at 12:30, hitting off a tee on the field by himself and picking up the balls at the end of the night. Does he need to do that? No, he can go hit in the cage. He just go hit in the cage. But he's sending a sign to his teammates, to the city, everybody. Hey, we're going to work hard and we're going to be such a blue collar team. I'm going to go pick up those balls myself because none of us on this team are too big to go do anything.
By the way, he did hit in the cage before that and then he went out to the field
and
practiced.
Yeah. I love it. And I think that's very clearly a sign sent. I'll say this. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think trading for Denard Span and Alex Colome is a sign.
Mm-hmm.
It gives this team confidence. It says that we're in, and especially here in Seattle, Brock, where
do you have to say that we're in?
Like yes,
that kind of a
that was me fumbling for words.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's a signal.
No,
a signal that I'm not always good at speaking.
I got
that's
you.
A different problem.
No, I thought it was strength of the conviction with it.
It says we believe in you. It says we got your back.
Mm-hmm.
That you need help, and we are going to try to give you every bit of help you need in order to get to the playoffs, and that we're all in on this thing. And especially in Seattle, I think that's necessary. I think it's important everywhere. But the history and the reputation of this organization is not perfect. I think we all know that. And so that's not just for the fans here in Seattle. Players around baseball get word of that stuff.
Yeah, managers have left.
It's
Hall of Fame players have just drove off.
It's why the big contracts for Felix Hernandez and Robinson Cano are important, even if those guys don't live up to them, especially in the latter half of them. It's important to show players, and especially the ones on your team, that you're invested, that you've got their back, that it's worth having a great culture, because when push comes to shove, they're going to go the extra mile to try to bring some people in. And so when you trade for Colome and Span, I think you're telling them that. Sign Scott and sign Jerry to extensions, I think you'd be doing it again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't that be another message to this team that, hey, we got your back, we like what you're doing, keep it up? There's
yes.
only so many ways that organizations can deliver those signals, and in baseball, just saying so isn't enough. So sign Jerry, sign Scott, continue to make deals like trading for Span and Colome, and this team, I think, will continue to respond to those things.
Like sign him nose to chin,
yeah,
shoulder to
exactly.
forearm, or
yeah.
sign him to a new contract.
Either one.
Either one. Okay.
Either one.
Gotcha.
Don't you think either of them works?
Sure.
If you were on that team, would it mean something to you?
Yeah. And we have seen this on the other side of the street, right, with extensions to guys and what that means in that locker room. And it's the same thing within a clubhouse. There is no question about that, that you're going to bring in a couple proven, experienced guys. Denard Span is put him in your list of a professional hitter. He's Seth Smith. He is just going to give you a professional at-bat every single time he steps in. And Colome is going to give you that injection of power and experience on the back end of your bullpen that you need with Nicasio and Diaz. So there's no question about that, Mike, mm-hmm. that is reaffirmed and paid off. As I say to you all the time, the players will make the decision. The players will make the decision. And at 37-22, they are making the decisions that we are all in, and let's go.
What are they since... There it is. Are you saying this would have been a better choice than Tesla?
No, I'm saying they're equally good.
You know where they love this one? On the beaches of Santa Monica. They still play this song all the time.
They love Ace of Base in Santa Monica. Always heard that. That's where Kendall is. One of our favorites. 206-421-3776. Rough day for you, Kendall. You fell from second to third here in our top five caller rankings, only because Adam was so dominant predicting the entire weekend. What are you going to do? Sometimes you just get outplayed.
Well, I'm just trying to do my job and try and get better every day, guys. You guys can control ratings.
Appreciated that. What's on your mind today? What was your favorite part of the weekend?
Favorite part of the weekend ties back to what we were talking about last week. You know, when, you know, you said, you know, winning is contagious. Chemistry, you don't want to let the guy next to you down. And think about Felix, right? You know, all this good stuff is happening, all this good mojo. And what's he going to do? He's actually going to go out and compete. And there are actually numbers that show a change in approach. So he threw his fastball 33% of the time
in his last start. That is by far way lower than any other time he's done that. The changeup and the curveball were used far more. And so what did that result in? That resulted in this week, or this start, he had the most ground ball percentage of far and away. Let me take a look at this. Yeah, his season average was 43% ground balls. This time it was 68% on balls in play. And so that shows a clear difference in approach. We were talking about the CC Sabathia thing. That's how CC started throwing, more like Greg Maddux, basically making the hitters get themselves out. And so looking at those numbers, that shows me there is a concrete shift in approach, because Felix doesn't want to be the guy who's the guy dragging the ship down.
That's right.
He wants to be the guy leading them for it. And if he can start going 7 and 8 innings, what that's going to do, that's going to conserve your bullpen, which is the strength of your team. It's going to allow you to win more one-run games because the bullpen is fresher. Felix knows that. Felix is a, you know, he's a big leaguer. He knows how all these things have ripple effects. So for me, that was the most exciting thing, is to see the change in approach, the change in plan, and to see the results on the field.
Strong call from Santa Monica, staying in the top five. Kendall, good information. He kind of went Peter in Eatonville with some of his stats. Now, Felix asked yesterday, Salk, in the clubhouse about all this work with Mel and everything that they're doing. And, yeah, the King not quite so outspoken about some of those changes.
Work with Mel over the past few days, past months, came through tonight, showed through tonight.
I got to keep doing this, so that's all I got to say.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I don't have to say much.
Nope. Spin City, man. Throw that spin. You've got that. That is your greatest strength from this day moving forward, is your ability to manipulate the baseball. And we've got to continue to see him focused on doing so.
This is a brand new Felix, people.
The original question here was your favorite moment of the weekend. We've talked about Haniger's walk-off. We talked about what Felix did yesterday. We mentioned Zunino gunning out Robertson at first base, which has just been the norm for him. You talk about Span and Gordon coming up with a couple of big base hits and indicative of the things they've done this year. A lot of people have mentioned D. Gordon taking extra batting practice at 12:30 at night on Friday. There's one other guy that probably needs to get thrown in here, and I don't know if we have the exact sound of him walking off to a standing ovation on Saturday, but Marco Gonzalez and what he did, finally giving up an earned run, and even that wouldn't have happened if it weren't, you know, you can't assume a double play, but there's a double play ball that unfortunately they can't fully turn, and that's the only reason he gave up his first earned run in forever. He was dominant.
The 0-2. Strike three call. Good morning, good afternoon, and best of all, good night. Fastball freezes Ref Snyder. Third punch out on the night for Marco Gonzalez, who faces the minimum in the second.
Marco goes 6 2/3, dominant again on Saturday. He's not supposed to be this good, right? I mean,
he's,
I know
he's a first-round draft pick.
But, so, not according to the pitcher I watched last year, no.
Right.
Not
according to the reaction from even some inside their organization when they traded for him last year. There was a lot of skeptical eyebrows. If this thing works out the way it has so far this year, this is the best Jerry DePoto trade. It is the best Jerry DePoto deal. Trading an outfielder for a potential number two starter. If this is who he is. Now, I don't know whether that's going to last or not. But I think, honestly, if that's the case, it's even better than the Segura Haniger.
So Tyler O'Neill's back in AAA, by the way.
Yeah.
So
are these trades just regressing to the mean? There were so many of them that you looked at and you're like, And now all of a sudden, kind of like probably these one-run games or extra inning games are going to regress to the mean a little bit over the course of a baseball season, that you're just finding your stride. My key is, if I were to say to you, the most improved Mariner in 2018. The most improved Mariner.
Who else would even be in the conversation?
I mean, Eddie, just doing it consistently.
Yeah, I mean, come on, he's been good for the last couple of years. Maybe he's taken it to another level, but
Mitch
Haniger. Great. Haniger, but we saw this from him last year when he was healthy. I mean, this is basically
like
what he did.
For like 3 weeks. That's not a long stretch.
I mean, Heredia has taken this spot for the last 25 days.
James Paxton, even in the amount that he's been able to keep himself on the field.
None of those things come close to Marco Gonzalez. Marco was a bad pitcher last year.
You know, he was just rushed back too soon from Tommy John.
That's fine.
In
but
my opinion.
The results were bad. What we saw out on the field was bad, and maybe it's because he wasn't ready, and maybe there were a lot of reasons for it. He didn't have his cutter and some other stuff. He was bad, and now he's good. Heredia was okay, and now he's good, and Haniger was very good for a while.
The last 10 starts, he's not been good. He's been great.
Right.
He's been dominant.
Unbelievable, yeah. Man. I'm so happy about it. Just so much fun watching all these guys, and a really, really, really good weekend, man. Mariners... Is that still even their sign, good? Are they even saying that anymore? Have they kind of forgotten about the good? It's gone in favor of the double thumbs up.
No, I think the thumbs up is a representation.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, good. All right, let's go.
Double thumbs up feels like better than good, though. It's almost great.
Feels like get up.
And it's really four thumbs up. Like, if you're going to put two thumbs up twice, that's really four thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's better than good. That's great.
It's
that's
unlimited
fantastic.
Unlimited thumbs up.
It's so many thumbs up. All right.
Good.
We got you guys on the horn. We're going to take some more of your phone calls. We got a little good news, bad news, no news. Who you got at 9 o'clock? Goldsmith or Ryan Roland Smith? Who you got?
Goldie?
This game is over, man. It's all coming up. Don't go anywhere, man. We're having fun here in Brockensall.
Good.
Good news.
Yes!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, time for a little good news, bad news, no news for Aaron Goldsmith. Joins us here at 9 o'clock. I'm going to jump out. I'm going to get Avery to school so that they don't call the truancy officer. But you can wrap this up without
They've been
me.
Doing good, man. I haven't seen them climbing up the door or the windows or anything.
It's been okay back there, Kyle?
I think they're still here.
Is boy Howdy still under the desk with them?
Howdy made them
a little while.
In their fort room?
Howdy made him a fort?
Sure he did.
We're just singing Frozen.
What's are you singing Let It Go?
Yeah.
Good news.
And in summer.
I bet you nailed that. All right, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
This is the latest into the season the Mariners have been in first place since 2003.
Yeah, that's great news, and it's not a cheap first place in this division, one of the best divisions in all of baseball. We knew that Houston was going to have to face the Yankees and the Red Sox, a gauntlet that's coming, by the way, to Seattle here in just a couple weeks. And if the Mariners could do at home what they had done on the road, play consistent baseball, get themselves 6, 7, 8 games over 500, which they have, they would find themselves with this kind of footing. That is good news.
It's actually no news, Brock.
Okay.
I can tell you definitively why. I turned on the end of the basketball game last night after the kids went to sleep. Great game. Really compelling.
Steph was on fire.
Really compelling game.
And
really compelling.
Go.
And then after that, I figured, oh, SportsCenter's up. I'll just wait because, you know, the Mariners are in first place. They just swept. They've won 8 of 10 at home here on this homestand. There'll probably be some highlights, maybe even a little commentary on the Mariners. So I watched
it. Was it good?
I watched. I saw them go through some of the comments made after the basketball game.
Yeah.
Watched some more. Then they went back to some of the same comments. So they were on repeat.
Mm.
Was waiting and waiting. Saw some other baseball games. Obviously, got to get to that Cleveland game. Cleveland's a really good. Oh, no, they're not good this year. But okay, fine. Let's get to that Cleveland game. And
what are you talking about, Salk? They're one of the big three.
Right.
They're the third best record in baseball, the Mariners do, behind the Red Sox and the Yankees. Third best record in all of baseball.
So I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And then finally, after I went upstairs, I heard the word Mariners on my TV. Hold on. So I went downstairs to see it, and they gave the Mariners almost 30 seconds.
Nice.
Now, to be fair, John Anderson had to pause a moment before understanding how to say Heredia's name. Is Guillermo Hered? He was like reading it, like because they must have spelled it out for him. He'd clearly never heard of him
out there in the Puget Sound.
Yeah. So, no news, obviously.
Heredia.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Golden State Warriors took a 2-0 lead in the NBA Finals, and it'll be virtually impossible for the Cavs to win even a game.
Even if the referees help them in at least one of these, right? That's got to happen.
No, it's going to be impossible.
It's impossible. Wow. Okay, no news.
When the Warriors share the basketball as beautifully as they did last night and guys hit shots the way that only they can, it's a beautiful brand of basketball to watch, and it's why they're up 2-0. Good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Brock's beautiful. Been waiting to say that for so long. Like, he just came in today with that, like, I've got some good analysis of this game. I'm ready.
I sure do. It was awesome.
And then Howdy takes the wind out of his sails by talking about it with that voice.
He tries to kick me between the legs, but he can.
The Husky women.
Actually, he probably could.
Yeah. He's well suited to that.
Yes.
The Husky women's softball team shut out Oklahoma for the second time yesterday in this postseason, and they'll begin a 3-game national championship series tonight versus Florida State.
Yeah, I'm glad it's the Seminoles. I didn't want to see a Pac-12 foe like UCLA. No, bring on Florida State. They're the number 5 seed. The Huskies the number 4. And much like the Mariners have had to do it in a difficult division, this has not been easy for Washington. They're playing in Oklahoma City, home crowd for Oklahoma. Defending champs beat them twice. And, oh, by the way, the Oregon Ducks, who are the number 1 overall seed. So bring on the Seminoles, and let's see if they can get their second national title since we've been on the air.
I saw Angie talking about this after the game the other night, just discussing how good the Pac-12 has been this year and how many different Pac-12 teams are involved. Could have even been more if Arizona and UCLA weren't in the same bracket, right? So, yeah, kudos to the Huskies, and man, What is it? What is it? They're hashtagging Mighty Are the Women.
Mighty Are the Women.
Mighty Are the Women, man. Go get them.
And
go
what's
beat
the deal
Florida
with this
State.
Unicorn? Can someone bring me in on that?
I don't get
I was
that.
Talking
it's unicorn magic. Yeah, they're
what's,
unicorns.
What's the deal with the Walls for Wins? Do you understand that one? That's
walls
another.
Walls for Wins. It originated from a statement by someone on Twitter that said, "I can't wait to go home and stare at my wall after a win." And then it just spurned into this whole movement of like, post your photo of a wall.
Got it.
After the Mariners
so
win.
Walls for hashtag walls for wins.
And people have been getting very creative with them.
Huh. I've got one. I've been waiting for the right moment. I haven't
still
used
don't
it
think I know how to do it.
Yeah, I think you can figure it out, Kyle.
Post,
I think it was pretty
post
well
a photo
described.
Of a wall.
Take a picture of a wall, you post it, and say walls for wins. You think you can do that?
I don't have any walls in my yurt, but I could give it a try.
Man. All right, there you go. That's good news, bad news, no news.
You hear Stephen A. go off on JR at all?
Time I did put, hear, yeah, because you sent it to me.
Time to put him on the bench.
All right.
Old Stephen A. Do you see the video, by the way, of it's gone viral now?
I did actually, for the record, I watched that Stephen A. clip, and yeah. I thought the best part was when he said, it's time for Tyronn Lue to put him on the bench.
Put him on the bench.
Like, no, dude, it's time for LeBron to put him on the bench. Quit pretending that Lue is the coach.
A friend of mine
team.
Resent it to me this morning. Did you see the 2.5 minute clip after JR had done what he'd done, where he sat on the bench by himself? He's right in the middle, and LeBron, like the rest of them, like the plague. They would not even touch him. They wouldn't even look at him. They wouldn't even talk to him. He just kind of had to sit and stew in that mess.
Do you think that there's an unhealthiness to having LeBron be best player, coach, and GM of your team? Mm.
Only because they don't give him the actual titles. If they will actually give him the titles of GM and coach, this will all go away. Is this is the not... only thing I really want to see moving forward is LeBron go to a new team, be the actual coach, player
and
coach,
GM.
Player GM, and we'll just ride.
That'd be awesome. That would be so funny if that's how the Lakers got him. Like, look, dude, we're going to... But LeBron wouldn't want that.
No.
He wants to have a scapegoat for when things go wrong, Ooh. Right? You still have to be able to fire a coach because you can't fire yourself when you're LeBron James.
Is there an unhealthy dynamic to a team chemistry when that happens?
It's time to bench J.R. Smith. I'm sorry to say it. He's actually a nice guy, but damn it, that don't have anything to do with his game. He's nice. His game is not. And that is the bottom line. It's time to bench him. Talk to y'all later.
Talk to y'all later. I love it. All right, well, that's what's going on, Brock, with the NBA Finals. When All is right. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup? Tonight? Tonight or tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it's tonight.
Are they tonight in Washington?
You I don't want to lose. Tonight and then
game
Thursday
Game 4 is a big one,
Vegas.
Man. If you go up 3-1, that, yep. I always think Game 4 is the biggest one in the series, so we'll yep. see what happens.
Well, you get out of here. Get All your right. kids to school, for crying out loud.
I'm going to go take the kids to school. Apologize for jumping out a little early. Thanks for letting me hang out with you guys today. Still some people hanging on for you, Brock, on the
nice.
Phones. Aaron Goldsmith is going to be here. Jump on the phones and help Brock out during this final hour.
Oh, please do.
I'll be listening in the car, and I will talk to you guys on Wednesday. Can I just quickly say,
yeah.
Just for a moment, and maybe we'll talk about it on Wednesday if we have a little bit more time, but the person whose funeral I'm heading back to in Boston, my Uncle Norman, my dad's best friend, is truly one of the most fun, awesome people in the entire world. And if every one of you could have known him for a moment, you would have loved him.
Mm.
Just an outrageously great person. When I was telling Brock a few stories here of when I was 6-7 years old, he wrapped me up in a towel at a pool, started jumping up and down on the diving board. I'm like, yeah, there's no way. Oh, yeah, he jumped. Jumped straight in, towel and all. I'm screaming at him. I'm so mad. And he just has this big smile on his face. He let me drive his Jeep when I couldn't have been, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years old at the most. I'm driving it around his property.
That's awesome.
He tried to buy me a dog before my parents were ready to have a dog. He had kids a little later. He had me at age 5 or 6 propose to his then girlfriend, who later became his wife, and we went out to dinner, the three of us, and afterwards he had it all set up and gave me the ring, and I was, Robin, Uncle Norman wants to know if you'll marry him. So he just, as the most large heart of anybody I know, and unfortunately taken by brain cancer at the age of 69. So for my Uncle Norman, I'll be out tomorrow. I apologize, but I'll catch you guys on Wednesday. Aaron Goldsmith up next. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.